cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart. You cleansed my soul. For this I need you so, Papa God. Papa God, you saved me from my own life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart. You changed my soul. For this I need you so, Papa God. Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart. You changed my soul. For this I need you so, Papa God.
Let's all stand up if you don't mind. Man, I miss my brother. All my brothers. Brother Howell. Pray for Brother Howell. I got Brother Hal and Brother Ray, Brother Dick. We were all Skyping together all the time. So if you Skype a little bit, you might hit up on Brother Hal. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. You see you high and lifted. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power.
Bless you tonight. You can have your seats. Well, yeah, I thought about it. But you can stand up if you want to. I'm not going to stop you. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to share a little quick testimony with you. My little buddy Nahum, that I'm telling y'all about her, our friend's little boy. Lord's doing a work slowly, but I don't know if y'all have seen any of the videos or not, but he's been eating some food. I've been feeding him like applesauce and stuff. He's been able to eat some of that. And his uncle has a Polaris, or one of the family members has a Polaris, and they ride him around on it. And his uncle had seen him a video talking to him and asking him, was talking to him, and then he got on the Polaris and was driving the Polaris while he was talking to him. And they've been using that in his therapy. And amen. He's like, you know, it's like he's not there, but boy, as soon as he hears that video, man, he's turning his head. He's trying to figure out. He's seen the video. They said he had a grin on his face. He was seeing that video. You know what that Polaris was. Amen. So y'all just continue to pray for him. Just thank the Lord that he's the Lord just moving on, touching him. We just appreciate that. And just continue to hold him up in prayer. And I want to say, bring greetings from the brothers and the believers in Nepal, Brother Tej, little brother that Brother Wade was talking about. Brother Tej, he listens in, and he'll call me through Facebook Messenger, and he said Pastor Samuel was doing questions and answers, and he said one sister asked a question, and I'm trying to explain to him, you know, it's about what he's been preaching on, but he was just like, man, that's so good. He was like, he was just amazed that, you know, we're really blessed, and you know, because I guess a lot of churches and a lot of pastors don't take questions and answers like that in the sanctuary. Like, but you know, Brother Branham did, but you know, it's just, he's just amazed at the kind of ministry that we have here. And he's been really blessed. And, you know, Brother Dale was speaking on adoption and talking about the three stages, and he had to write it down. He sent me Romans 8, and he was all like, man, that's so good, so good. So, but y'all just continue to remember them in prayer. Everybody knows in India's COVID numbers are through the roof. I mean, they're skyrocketing. And Nepal is a neighbor to India, and they have the same issue. And so they have Zoom meetings. They can gather five in a group, and they gather in each other's homes, and they have a Zoom. So they have Zoom church. And the brother preaches, so they preach through a Zoom meeting. But he's really just, he calls me about every night. And he's just so excited, y'all were not, it's a real blessing that, you know, you don't know who you're going to reach, you don't know who you're going to touch, but you know, I know he'll be watching in tonight, and, they're 10 hours ahead of us. And so they're 10 hours ahead, and sometimes he is up when we have church service on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, he's up watching the live stream. And so, I mean, that's a real testimony.
Amen. Amen.
That he'll get up, and then, you know, sometimes he may not be able to watch all of them sometimes, but he'll actually go back and he watches the archives on YouTube. So, but, y'all just continue to remember them. There was a sister that had cancer that they've been praying for a while. She's been really in bad shape, and she had spent quite a few days in ICU, but she finally got to come home. And he said, y'all just continue to remember them and for healing. But the other thing is financial need, because, you know, it's very expensive. You know, healthcare is expensive here. Well, you know, it's expensive over there too. But y'all just continue to remember them in prayer. And he always talks about Pastor Samuel and Pastor Samuel and Brother Wade. Brother Wade. But, I mean, he's about my age. But I mean, brother, talk to me. Just tell me something out of the word. And he just wants to absorb, and he'll just sit there, and he don't just listen. I mean, he's actually writing it down while you're talking. And so it's just been a blessing. Y'all just remember them. And, I know Wade said that if this COVID mess ever gets cleared up and everything, they would love for us to come to Nepal. And I know Brother Wade would love to go. But y'all just continue to remember them and, just hold them up in prayer. Cause you never know, you know, we just think it's our four walls. Sometimes we forget to see how much the internet reaches out to each one. So just want to remember each one that'll be listening in and the different ones, because God is just so good. Amen. And he's so great. And there's one thing about it. If there's a hungry soul somewhere.
Amen.
He's going to speak to that one.
Amen.
So I want to sing this song. It's been all, it's going to come on my mind a little, and I don't even know what number it's on, but, it's I Will Hasten to Him. And if y'all can find what page number that is, 29. Just found it, 29. Amen. I think we're going to be in the key of G. Amen. I am resolved. Amen. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Amen. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Yes, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad. And strive. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. Yes, I will hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. Yes, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Yes, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still I will enter. And so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. And I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Yes, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. How many's got that resolve? Amen. We're going to go all the way. Amen. You know what? If you have the desire, then He'll meet you and He'll lead you. You know, He just wants somebody. He just wants a willing vessel. He just wants somebody to have a desire. So tonight we're going to look in Luke chapter 14, begin verse 25. We're going to speak on a little thought about very familiar scripture tonight, but I titled it Counting the Cost, and I want to focus on the word value. And just before we read the scripture, let's just speak to the author tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house again. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, sometimes we just take the opportunity, Lord, to sit down and think about what you've done for us. Lord, as the song said, through many dangers, tolls, and snares, we've already come. Lord, for all the things that we've been through, Lord, we realize that it was you that's brought us through these things. We couldn't have done it in ourselves. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, but Lord, for the word that you've given us, Lord, for all your many blessings on us, Lord, we can't thank you enough. And tonight, Father, we just pray that you'll come, Lord. We know that you will, because you honor your word, Lord. You said, wherever two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. And Father, just help me get out of the way today. Lord, that we can speak to your people, Lord. Lord, for those that are listening in, Lord, so many needs. But Lord, we know you're the way maker. You're the problem solver. Lord, you're the healer. You're the comforter. Lord, whatever we have need of, Lord, the answer is you. And Lord, let it not just be another service in your house, Lord. But Lord, let it be a gathering, Lord, that you can have the preeminence in the building, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just commit all things to you, Lord, as we read this scripture, Lord. You give us the eye salve of the word, Lord. Let us see ourselves, Lord. And Lord, just come speak to us. Touch our hearts, Lord. Fill us whatever we have need of, Lord. Straighten us out, Lord. Lord, we know that correction begins at the house of the Lord. Lord, I want to be right. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, to mold us into your image, Lord, that's what we pray for. We commit all things in the name of Jesus Christ to you. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And I want to take this thought about counting the cost. But I want to go back just a little bit previous in this chapter 14. And, you know, this is where Jesus is speaking, and Jesus speaks of the parable of the Great Supper. And, you know, he begins to talk about the certain man that had a great supper, and he bade many to come, and he sent his servant out. And he said, he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and I therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And then that's where Jesus begins to pick up from where we were reading. But I just wanted to, for sake, we all didn't have to stand up for the whole reading, but I just wanted to take that, because, you know, Jesus is speaking to the parable, and when he's speaking to the parable, he's speaking to this multitude that keeps following him. And you know, it's not just following Jesus, as in following him, but you have to do what the word says. And it's not just, you know, hearing the word, but it's actually doing the word. And so, you know, he begins to speak here, and he said, you know, when you take I want to talk about the word value, counting the cost, looking at the value. You know, because you have to recognize the value of something. Because, you know, when he begins to speak of this one that had this dinner, this supper, and he goes to bid, you know, to bring everybody in, he invites everybody into this supper, and yet they come up with some of the flimsy excuses. I mean, some of the most ridiculous excuses for a reason they can't come. I mean, you know, who would buy a piece of ground and they never even looked at it? Or I've got to go prove these oxen. I mean, you know, that's the reason Jesus came up with these really outlandish excuses to give, because that's exactly the way people are. They would like to give some of the most ridiculous excuses about things, but they don't recognize the value in it. And, you know, so when Jesus was speaking of here coming to the supper, and then he went out and he compelled and he brought in all that he could that he wanted them to, but he said, none of these are going to eat of my supper. And so when Jesus began to speak, you know, speaking in the natural, he's also speaking in the spiritual, that, you know, there is a word going forth, but if they did not have desire, they did not recognize the value in the word, then they wouldn't receive any of it. And people will come up with some of the most flimsy excuses of not doing anything and not following what God has for them. And they wonder why they can't get blessed, or, you know, they want to look at certain things, but they don't ever go beyond a certain point. And they wonder why. It's because they don't recognize the value in the word. They don't recognize what has been placed before them. So, you know, many times we just look at things and we see it we see things just as a cost. We don't see things that have value. We just look at things as, you know, as something that has monetary value, but we don't recognize the value of it. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, if some kind of, you know, I don't know, Chevelle, 69, 70, whatever, Chevelle pulled up in the parking lot. Now, Donnie could go out there and he could tell you that when you saw the car, now Donnie could tell you how rare it was, how many of them was made, and he could tell you when he went out there and started looking at it, he could tell you that what the value of that car was. You know, what would be $70,000, $80,000, $100,000? And a lot of people will walk out there and they see a car and they say, hey, there's an old car sitting in the parking lot. Why? Because somebody sees a value in that, and somebody just sees something. But somebody else sees the value in it because they haven't had an experience, so they can see the value in something. And so, you know, many times, you know, if you know, how many of you had this, scenario, how many has had this conversation before, you know, when somebody brings something in and they ask you about, you know, and it comes along and they say, don't you like this? You know, wives are like, oh, don't you like this? It's so pretty, this dress, or, you know, these shoes or whatever. And, you know, and then you say, well, how much did it cost? Well, isn't this so beautiful? Come over here and touch this. Don't this feel great? Don't this color look beautiful? How much did it cost? Well then, you know, it's, and what do? You try to put the value, you're trying to express the value of an item, and the husband, all he wants to know is, what's the cost? He don't see no value. He wants to know how much money come out of the bank account. But he don't see any value. But, you know, you try to speak to him about the value of it. Well, I can wear this here. I can do it. No! What is the cost? Why people some? But you know, it's like, you know, but you know, on the flip side of that is when a wife comes in and wants to know about guns and ammunition and tools. Listen, you know, it's like, listen. You just don't try to explain those things, Brother Danny. You just don't try to explain those things. So some people just don't recognize the value. They don't appreciate the value of those things. So there's no need to try and explain it to them. Why? Because people won't see the value in that. But it's value to us. But you're not ever going to explain it and never get anybody to understand the value of it. Why? Because all they see is the cost. And because, you know, one man's junk is another man's treasures. But see, the thing is what is the value of that? But the thing is it's not our value. It's what God values. God sets the bar. And so then we go by what God values. The word value, it means to regard that something. It's held to deserve the importance, worth, or usefulness of something. The material or monetary worth of something. The worth of something compared to the price paid or asked for. A person's principles or standards of behavior, one's judgment of what is important in life. Their morals. It also means to estimate the monetary worth of something. Consider something or someone or something to be important or beneficial, have a high opinion of. So when we look at the value of something, then we have to have some kind of basis to have to value something. And if we don't have the right way of valuing something, then you know what? We don't see the value of those things. You're not going to be able to value those things. You know, in the Old Testament, we know, I believe it's in the book of Exodus, we know that, you know, when they had things that had to come up, or I'm sorry, it was maybe Leviticus, there, you know, the scripture talks about when they were things that had to be valued, then it was brought to the priest. See, when a man made a vow, then he was worth so much because he had to pay so much, and then a piece of land was so much and all the different ones. But if there were certain items that were brought, then the priest had to be brought before the priest, and the priest had to make the judgment on that. Then he had to make a value estimate of what it was valued at, and then it could be given as an offering or whatever to the Lord. And then if the man wanted to redeem those things back, then the scripture tells us he had to put a fifth part of whatever the price was to that to redeem it. So the priest had to make the estimate of what someone was going to be. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it is today. The only estimation that's going to count is what God estimates it to be. If God counts it as to be something, then it means something. But if it does not, then you know what? Then there's no need of trying to chase it or do anything about it because it has no value. But many times people want to chase so many things that have no value. People don't sit down and count the cost of something. What is it going to cost? Why? Because something, everything's going to cost you something. You're going to have to pay sooner or later, but what is it that you value? What is it that you're willing to pay? Because, you know, even in the scripture, when we go look into the scripture, you know, there's different ones that done different things, but they didn't value what God valued. Right. In the first Chronicles, in the life of David, we know that David had a time where God told, the scripture says that Satan provoked David, that God's anger was kindled against Israel. And said the Satan provoked David to count the people. He began to number the people. And when he began to number the people, see, the scripture tells us that in Exodus, I believe it is, that God was the one that was supposed to number the people. Only God had the right to number the people because he said when he told Moses, when you number the people. But there was also another thing that God added to the numbering of the people was he gave, every man had to pay a half a shekel for the ransom of his soul. That was an estimation. And the scripture tells us, he said it didn't matter if a man was rich or poor, they all paid the same price. It was always the same price. Why? Because it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, it takes the same ransom, the same payment to bring you to eternal life. Your life is valued the same in the midst of God. And so every person had to pay the same. But see, when David began to number the people, he did not follow the word of God. Number one, he didn't have a right to number the people. Number two, he didn't require them to pay the shekel or the half a shekel. So there was a payment, so he didn't follow the word of God. And then when that became, then David realized that something rose up in his heart and smote him. And he said, realized that he had acted foolishly before God. And then he said, you know, then he became that God required of him a judgment. And you know, he told him, he said, listen, he said, you know, you can have 7 years of famine. He said, you can run from your enemies for 3 months, or he said, you can have 3 days of pestilence. But you know, he had to make that judgment, but you know, he fell in the hands of God and God sent a pestilence among them. And you know how many people died, how many men, the scripture says 70,000 men died that day. In the midst of a 3 day period of 70,000 men. Why David didn't value 70,000 men's lives as much as he did his own arrogance. He valued his own self-will than he did the lives of 70,000 men. And in the midst of Israel. Why? Because that's what it cost. So he didn't value something, but it cost him a whole lot. You know, it didn't, you know, you go all the way through the scripture, even Saul, you know, Saul didn't value the word of God. And he thought he could just do whatever he wanted to. Even when he had Samuel, and Samuel told him what not to do and what to do. And yet he still didn't stand in the place that God had put him in. And so, you know, when Samuel rebuked him and told him that God had raised up one that was greater than him, that was going to take over the kingdom, and he grabbed a hold of Samuel's mantle and it rent, and he said, you know, just as this mantle has rent, said the kingdom has been rent from you. Why? Because he valued the people's ideas and their opinions of him more than he did the word of God. Because when he was said, you go out and you kill every one of them, you kill the king and you kill all the stuff, and you do exactly what he said. He said, no, I'm going to take the best and offer it as an offering to God. He said, no. He said, that's like witchcraft. He said, you know, to dishonor God because just believe what God said and do what he said. God doesn't delight in all these burnt offerings. He wants somebody that has a contrite heart and will follow him and believe what he said. He did not want any of these other things. He wanted somebody that would actually believe what he had to say, that would actually walk in what he said. All through the scripture, we find different ones that didn't follow what God told them to. They only followed just a portion of it, but they wouldn't follow all the way. We know that Samson was one. You know, Samson was a man. Brother Bram said, Samson was raised up just to do one thing. And he said that was destroy the Philistines. That's what he was raised up to do. But you know, he had a great strength. He had an anointing. He had a covenant with God. And you know what? He couldn't stay with his covenant. Why? Because he could give his heart to Delilah, but he could only give his strength to God. But he couldn't give everything that he had to give to God because he was so wrapped up in things of the world and all the things that he could see. And he, you know, he thought he was something and didn't realize that everything that he had, everything that he done was from God. God had blessed him to do that. God had anointed him to do those things.
Right.
But he got to the point where, you know, he couldn't walk away from that. Why? Because he kept his eyes on Delilah.
Amen.
He had his eyes on something that was not in the Word of God. Messing around with some woman that was a idol worshiper and, you know, a heathen and all these things and couldn't stay away from that. Couldn't follow what God had given him, the commission that God had given him to walk in the Word and destroy the enemy. Why, the ones that had plagued Israel all those years, he was raised up to destroy it. And brothers and sisters, you know what? We've battled the same things over and over and over. And you know what? We've been raised up to destroy the enemy. And you know what? We still will walk around and allow him to sit on our shoulders and talk to us. And we still make room for the devil when the scripture tells us not to. We ain't got time to listen to his mess. But we will. When he was anointed to do this great work, and the people, the Philistines would walk in fear of his name. When he would destroy all these things and all the things that they had, everything that they held dear, he could destroy it. And yet he allowed some little woman go up there and blind him and take away his covenant. And take away all of his glory and all the things that God had set him up for. He lost all of that. Why? Because he couldn't keep his eyes. Because he didn't value the word of God. He didn't value the covenant that he had. But you know, one day when he was out there and he was bound and they were mocking fun of him. And he was out there grinding. And you know, the Philistines had put him to work. And all he could do is go round and round and round in circles. And he faced them and he had to live with the ridicule and the mockery of the Philistines. Oh, here's the great Samson. He was supposed to destroy us. And look at him now. He's making food for us. He's down there grinding for us. It's like, well, Samson, if you can go a little faster now, come on, we need a little more. And it was just a big joke, just a big joke. And here he is, the great Samson. What a joke. But you know, there's one thing about it. Brother Bram said in all that time he was down there going around in circles, going around in circles, going around in circles. You know, he had time to think about what he had done. And you know, one day Brother Bram said he had a thought. He got an idea that, you know what? I can have that covenant again. I can go back to that covenant. You know, he reached back there and could feel that he had hair again. You know, he believed the Lord. He said, you raised me up to destroy them. When they wanted to have their big feast, when, you know, their festival there with Dagon and all that, you know, they wanted to have their big party and they wanted to bring him in and they wanted to raise him up and let everybody see, this is the great Samson. You know, we've had to put up with him all these years, but now all this time he's been with us, he's blind. And you know, he's just a joke to everybody. And this is what he looks like. You know, it's like, ooh, look at Samson. Ooh, look at Samson. You know, they all had to make fun of him. But you know, they didn't realize what was going to take place. When see, they just saw, well, he's down there grinding meal and he's just a joke. Samson's down there praying to God. He's down there praying to God, and all of a sudden God brings him up into that midst, and that young boy brings him in there, and he says, where's the pillar to this temple? And, you know, and they're getting drunk and having a great time and laughing it up, and boy, they're just partying. Woo, they're having a great time. And didn't see the value in what was going to take place. And Samson said, Lord, he said, let me die with them. Let me destroy this. And here comes this man that they had made fun of, and here he come walking in. Why? Because they didn't have any belief that God was going to use him again. They didn't have any belief that God could use him again. He was done with. It was over for him. It was through. They had no desire in it, believe any of that. But you know, here, you know, as Brother Dale always talks about, he said, you know, if I was one of the Philistines, he said, I would have shaved his head every day. I wouldn't have let him have no hair back. Well, I wouldn't have let him in the temple to get him more near the pillars. I wouldn't, no, you stand over here. We're going to leave you outside, or, you know, we're going to keep you. No, they let him walk in the midst of the temple while all this revelry was going on. And that young man, and then all of a sudden, you know, he puts his hand on that post. Feels pretty good. Starts putting his hand on that other one. Feels pretty good. In the midst of all that, all the ridicule and all the mockery and everything that they had done of Not just him, but they made fun of God, of Israel, and all of. He said, Lord, this is not my battle. He said, but Lord, let me destroy them. Lord, you raised me up to do this. Let me. And he said, Lord, just once more, Lord. Just once. And he gave a push and he destroyed that and he killed more at his death than he did in his lifetime. Why? Because he had value in it. But it took him to go blind before he could see the value in what God had called him to do. And all those years, can you imagine all those years him sitting out there listening to that ridicule and all of that stuff, and it just kind of builds up in you, and it builds up in you, and it builds up in you. But then all of a sudden, he come to a place that he wanted to destroy them. He left all that back there in the arms of Delilah, but one day it came and it came back to him that he wanted to destroy them. What God's covenant was, what God's commission was for him. Many times we get our eyes on the wrong thing and things have happened in our lives and we wonder why things happen. Why? Because we've got our eyes on the wrong thing. We've got our eyes on the wrong thing and things come across our way and we wonder why things happen the way they do. Why? Because God is bringing us back, and sometimes it takes a hard road. Sometimes it comes tragedy, different things happen, heartbreak, whatever it takes. Why? Because it brings us back and it focuses us back to the place where we need to be, to have our eyes on the things, to destroy the works of the devil, to get the devil out of our lives. Whatever it is that we need to overcome in our lives, that's what we need to do, because God's going to bring us back to that place. Why? Because you and I have been given that commission. But you and I, we've got to believe that. And we've got to come to that place where we can do that. You know, God valued each one of us. And all through the scripture, he valued the people of God when they didn't even value him. I was thinking about what Brother Wade was speaking on Sunday, and when you see the value in something, when we were lost and we were undone, we had no way back, but he saw value in us when we didn't. He said, when we were unlovable, God loved us. He said, well, because that was value. He saw value. He saw something valuable in us. We didn't even see value in him. You know, he was reading there in Isaiah, and he was reading Isaiah 53, and he was talking about he came, and he said he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and he said it was as we didn't want to look at him, because there was no beauty, and he said we turned as it were our faces from him, and all those things that he was turned away, and all the things that he went through. But he desired you and I. He valued us because he saw value in us. The cost was so great because it said he gave his soul a ransom. So the value was, the cost was great. But you know what? He saw value in us. And from the beginning when he knew what was going to take place, and he knew that man would fall and all those things, but you know what? He came to bring us back. And to bridge that chasm. And when he came and all those things, and you look at the agony that he went through in the garden and all the things that he went through in his life, and all the things that he separated himself, and all the things that Jesus done all the way through his life was for you and I. He said, I sanctify myself, and all the things that he could have done in this world, but he didn't. Why? Because he said, all I want to do is what the Father shows me. He said, why, as the Father showeth me, he said, the Son doeth likewise. That was all his goal, was to do what the Father showed him and to do the will of the Father. Amen. To bring you and I back into fellowship with him. Amen. Why? Because he valued us enough to do all of that. To bring us back into fellowship, to give us what he had. And here we are, and so many times people wonder, we lose the value in things, and we wonder, does God love us? Will God heal us? Will God meet our needs? We're wondering if we've done these things, and he said, as Wade was talking about, if we The script, Jesus said, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? And we wonder if God loves us. Well, you know what? It wasn't that He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane when He sat there and said, Lord, not my will but Thine be done. He said, but Lord, if I can't let this cup pass from me. When He took those stripes on His back and He walked up that hill and He died naked on a cross. And people wonder, what? Did God love me? Does God make a way for me? Does God intercede for me? Why, He's already proven it. If He was here tonight standing in shoes, He couldn't do any more than what He's already done. But the problem is do you and I believe that? When the Scripture tells us, He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That you and I, that He loved us so much that He bypassed the splendor of heaven, forsake everything to come to be born of a virgin in a little manger over cow manure. To be despised and rejected. He came to His own and His own received Him not. But you know what? He made a way for you and I to come back. That you know what? He said He became sin who knew no sin. That you and I became the righteousness of God. And we wonder, does God love us? God tries to show His love to us every single day. And we wonder, will God heal me? Will God meet my needs? Will God do these things for me? God's trying to tell you every single day that He loves you. And He wants the best for you. And He wants to bring you on. And He wants to show you. He wants to bring you up the stature of a perfect man. He wants to mold His image in you. And He comes up there. But you know what? There's a drawing. And you know there's a drawing inside of you every single day. And you know what? We will not value that draw. We will not take a hold of that draw and walk in it. Lord, draw me. Draw me nearer to the cross. Lord, mold me in Your image. But we won't take that. Why? Because we're so worried about what Obama's going to do or what Biden's going to do or what the Democrats are going to do or whether they're fighting in Israel or all these things. Listen, we got to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Brothers and sisters, it's a late hour. The only thing that we got to do is make sure that we're ready to go. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Brothers and sisters, do we value the Word? Do we value the Word as we should? You know, as Brother Dale's been preaching on the gifts, you know, do we honor the ministry that we have? Do we honor the fivefold ministry? You know, Brother Bram said one time, he said the attitude that we have, the way we treat one another, is the way we treat God. Our attitude toward one another. He said, how can you say that you love, not love your brother whom you have seen, and say you love God whom you've not seen, and you hate your brother? And you know, when he says, when you have an ought, your brother has an ought against you, you know, you don't even have to have it. If you think your brother's got an ought, you're supposed to go to him and straighten it up. But sometimes, you know, we don't want to. Why? Because we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. You know, it's just like a nice, comfortable pair of shoes. We don't want to get rid of them. We just walk in the same road all the time. No, we got to move on. You know, I mean, it's so amazing when you see people that, you know, the Word and, you know, and gathering together. You know, he said, so much the more. Forsake not the assembly. You know, so much the more as you see that day approaching. You know, it's a rebuke that people don't want to come. You know, let's lay aside everything. You know what I mean? Even we have things like Bible study and different things. You know, we have the opportunity, and I know not everybody's able to come and all these different things, but you know, we need to put a more earnest effort into that. Because you know, the Lord wants to have communion with you. And many times, you know, it's when it comes time to read the scripture and read the word and pray. You know, everything else will come up in your way, and everything will get in your way, and you'll have such a hard time trying to get things together, and you know, it's always something but you know, you've got to set time and you've got to press through all of that to get in there and get into the Word. Why? Because God can speak to you. God can speak through you to somebody. And many times we're too worried about what the weather is and so many other, you know, just things that don't even matter. But you know, can we reach one soul? Have we reached somebody? Do we reach out to somebody and tell somebody, you know, hey, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And you know, even if somebody don't know what's going on, you can still pray for them. Why? Because, you know, they don't have to know that you've prayed for them, but you stand up and you hold them up in prayer, not worried about other things, but you know, lay aside everything. You know, the wash doesn't have to be done. You know, everybody, you know, people that's got OCD, which I don't understand that, but you know, some people have OCD and you know, they got to have everything done on a certain time, certain schedule. You know, lay all that stuff aside. You know, you ought to have OCD with the scripture. You ought to have OCD with prayer. Well, you know what? Prayer doesn't, I can't get away from that. Oh, I got to lay everything else aside. I got to pray. I got to lay everything aside and get into the Word. No, everybody got to straighten and make sure all the pillows are correct and make sure, you know, all of the dishes are set a certain way in the cabinet and all these type things. All these things, you know, we can lay all those things aside. Why? All that's cannon fodder. But the thing is can we spend time? Can we get into the Holy of Holies and stand there before God and meditate on the Word and have God commune with us? They ever say, ever wait, and all these things that so easily beset us aside, let's just get into the Holy of Holies and let the Lord speak to us. Let's value the Word. Do we value the Word that we can have the Lord speak to us? But many times we have things in our lives, people got things that they have a hard time trying to get rid of. You know, they're holding on to things. You know, it's just like the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and he said, "Good Master, you know, what is it that I must do to receive eternal life?" And God and Jesus began to speak to him about the scripture, to follow the Word and do the things. They said, "Well, Lord, I've done all those things. What is it? What is it that I lack? What is it? What is it that I need to do?" And he said, "You need to sell all that you have. Get rid of all of that and come follow me." And you know, he was very sorrowful. He struggled so much with that. Why? Because he had great possessions. And that's what held him back was his riches. You know, he had all this stuff, but all this stuff was right in his way. It was blocking his path to Jesus Christ was all of the things that he had in this world. He couldn't lay all that aside. Cast all that away. You know, many times we get so wrapped up in things and not realizing what God has given us and God has placed before us, that God wants us to do these things. God wants us to go down these paths that He's leading us to. But you know, we got other things that we get so many things in our way that we can't get rid of them. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, if we don't follow the Word, if we don't follow what God has given us, if we don't value what the Word says, then you know, we don't realize that in the long run it's what it's going to cost us. You know, Jesus said one day, he said, "He that heareth my sayings and doeth them," he said, "it's like a wise man who builds upon a rock." He said, "This wise man, he builds his house upon a rock." And he said, because you know what? The storms are coming. We're not immune from storms. But you know what he said? He said, "But the wise man will build his house upon a rock." He said, "When the winds come and the rains come and the storms come and all the things come," he said, "you know what? His house still stands." Why? Because he had a sure foundation. He had a foundation that was solid. But he said, "He that heareth my words, but they don't do them." He said, "Now they've heard them, but they don't do what I tell them." They're not following the Word. He said it's the same as a foolish man building on the sands. Now, this man took time to build a house. He had to take all the things that it takes to build a house, all the lumber and all the things that he put together, but he didn't have a foundation that would hold it. But when the storms come, why? Because the storms are coming. But you know, in all those things, he didn't prepare correctly. He didn't prepare the way. And so it's the same way with you and I. If we don't follow the word, we've heard the word. But the thing is, have you followed the word? Do you follow the word? People wonder, you know, because, you know, when, you know, people ask about, you know, revelation. When God reveals his word to you, you know, when God is revealing to you his word, you know, that's a revelation. And you know, and people wonder about having, you know, I wish, you know, I wonder what a revelation is. It's when the Lord speaks to you. When, you know, whatever it is that God's speaking to you, that's a revelation. God is revealing his word to you. You know, when Brother Branham said one time, he said, when it came to Cain and Abel in the garden, and he said, Abel had a revelation of what, that it was blood. But he said, Cain only had a commandment. But you know what? God came down because, you know, he thought his revelation was correct. That he was going to offer an offering to God. He was going to make a sacrifice to God. But the problem was he didn't have a revelation and he done what he thought was correct. But you know, the problem was it wasn't that he offered that offering. It was the offering when God came back and told him, he said, listen, that's not correct. He said, you don't even have to have the revelation. He said, but what you need to do is you need to do as your brother done. He said, if you will offer the sacrifice, you didn't even have a revelation of what, that it was blood. But he said, if you will do, he watched Abel build an altar and take a lamb and slay it and offer a burnt offering to God. He saw the whole thing. And he said, all you got to do to be accepted is to do exactly as your brother done. You don't even have to have a revelation of it. All you got to do is follow what you saw. And he wouldn't do it. When he come and told him, he said, listen, he said, if you will do as your brother, you'll be accepted. But he said, if you don't, he said, sin layeth at the door. See, that was a revelation. Why? Because God spoke to Cain. And you know what? That's what condemned Cain was what the word that he had heard and he failed to walk in it. And you know, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. A revelation is a life-changing experience in your life. And let me tell you something. It may not be some earth-shattering revelation, but when God comes and speaks to you, whatever it is, if you don't do it, that is a life-changing experience. Why? Because it can be very simple things, but you know what? When you turn the word down, there's a time you can send away your day of grace. You can reject God, and you know what? The only thing that's left for you is judgment. Even as a child of God, you can walk away from the word and you can do, but you know what? You're going to pay a hefty fine for it. You're going to pay a hefty price for it. God's going to require that of you. Why? You know, what is a revelation? It's when God begins to reveal the word to you, when he begins to speak to you on your path and he speaks personally to you to show you what needs to be done. There's people that the only thing that God has showed them is water baptism in Jesus' name. I know a young man years ago that he grew up in the Church of God and he was friends with this girl that was in the message. And then in this time, you know, they began to speak on different things and he come to church with her and he began to read the church age book and but his family was so against Brother Branham and the message that, you know, he was in such a turmoil in all these things. And he was a great guy, wonderful guy. But you know, he said and he allowed his family to draw him away from that. And he rejected the message. I'm not his judge, but let me tell you something. When you see the truth of water baptism and you turn your back on it, I said, you have to answer to God for that. I'm not his judge, but let me tell you what, that's classic blasphemy. And it's heartbreaking to see people that will walk away from things like that. And you know, even as simple as that. And I don't care how many times you go to church and sit on a pew and all the things that you do from there on out, you can do whatever. You can be just as religious as Cain was. You can be just as religious as Judas was. You can be just as religious as the world is and everybody else. But let me tell you something, that is where you cut yourself off from God right there. And sometimes God will allow you to come back to that point, but sometimes God's not required to bring you back to that point and bring grace to you again to show you mercy from that point on.
Amen.
Sometimes people cut themselves off and don't realize it. Oh, you can have the Holy Ghost run up and down your spine and just be so anointed and all these great things and have signs and wonders and all these things and still be just as lost as you can be and still on your way to hell and still separated, alienated from God. Why? Because people don't value the Word. They don't value what God has done. They don't value these things. But God was drawing us, wanting us to show, to see who we are. God wants to see what the plan of for our lives are. And you know, many times people, well, I don't know what the plan of God for my life is. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you know what? The thing is you know what? You're not going to find it in some magazine. You're not going to find it on Facebook. You're not going to find it, you know, going here and there and all these other things. But there's one place that you can find it. You can find it in the Word of God. You can find it in the message of the hour. You can find it. Why? Because God has sent us a Word, and that's the only place that you're going to find an answer from God, because He said He is the Word. This is, He is the Word. And if you want to find the answer from God, then He said this is His will. His will is His Word. But you know, if you're not in the Word, then you know what? You can't find the will of God for your life. You can't find an answer. Why? Because it's not going to be in a pill bottle. It's not going to be some other place. It's going to be in the Word. When people don't realize when somebody crosses their path, you know, even if you don't agree with them, if you don't like them, sometimes what God will say a word to, you know, through somebody, and the problem is we just let it go in one ear and out the other, and we don't take the time to stop and contemplate what's been said. We don't do like Mary said, you know, when she heard the word from the angel, when Gabriel came and spoke to her and she heard the word, and she said, how can these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Well, you know what? She didn't reject the word, but she wanted an answer. Right. She wanted to get an answer from God, and Gabriel began to explain what was going to take place.
Right.
Well, you know, Zacharias came out there, and you know, and they began to tell him about he was going to have a son named John. And you know, he told Gabriel the same thing. He stood up and said, how can these things be? And you know, because he did not have the right motive and he didn't have the right objective, he didn't approach it correctly, then Gabriel taught him, said, you know what, you're going to be dumb until your son's born. Why? Because he approached it wrong. Why? Because he wanted to dispute what the angel had said. But Mary, she wanted to receive, she wanted to have an understanding. And many times when we don't approach it correctly, that's exactly what happens. Do we approach it? Do we have the right approach? Because you know, we have to have the value. Do we understand the value of these things?
Right.
But many times, you know, we don't see the value in things. We don't see things. And you know, when God allows things to happen in our lives and things to take place, we don't appreciate them. We don't see the value in things.
Right.
Sometimes we just see the problem, we just see the struggle, and not realizing that there's a blessing there, but we don't see the blessing. You know, many times people, you know, they want a blessing from God, and they just want something to fall out of the sky. You know, they just want it to magically appear. But you know, many times people don't realize that when God's blessed you with something, the problem is you've got to dig for it. You've got to seek for it because God has allowed it. And many times people, you know, when the word's gone forth and they hear something and you know, and the thing is that's as far as it goes. You never hear them go back and they don't read these scriptures anymore. They don't go back. They don't listen to the tape again or anything like that. They don't dig back into that. And so, you know, many times people miss these things and they wonder why. I don't know if y'all ever heard the story, but the farmer, he said, I got a secret I want to tell y'all. Told his kids and everybody, he said, I got a secret I want to tell y'all. It's the meaning of life. Y'all need to understand these things. Well, his kids thought he was kind of off, but, you know, it's like, well, what is it? He said, when you get older, I'll explain it to you. So when he started to get older, His oldest boy come up. Daddy said, I think I'm old enough to understand this secret of life, this thing that you think so important for me to understand. So he took his son out in the barn one day, and he's standing out there and he's looking at the cows. He said, son, I want you to understand this right here. He said, them cows don't give milk. He's like, what? He said, them cows don't give milk. He said, them cows got milk. But he said, if you don't get under that cow and start milking, then he said, it's going to go dry. He said, there's milk right there, but he said, you're going to have to go get it. And he said, you know what? God gives us a lot of blessings in life, but you know what? It takes a little bit of work. We got to do something on our own. People say, well, I wish I had a good paying job, or you know, I wish I could be a certain something in life. You know, I want to, well, you know what? All it takes is work. What was it? Was it Thomas Jefferson or Mark Twain or whichever one of them was said that, you know, most people miss opportunity because it wears overalls and looks like work. Why? Because they miss those things. Why? Because they don't see, well, open the windows of heaven are open. But you know, but the kingdom of God says you've got to press in. You know, because, you know, it's like, well, I'm just waiting on, if Brother Dale will pray up, and we just come to church, he'll give it to us. No, he said, we got to pray up. We got to do our own part. And so the thing is, you know, when we come to church, what are you? Because, you know, the thing is you operate the gift. You know, Brother Dale can come up here. All these different brothers can come up here. We can have everything, and we can have your answer right here. God can give us your answer, whatever it is. But you know what? If you don't pull, you know what? We can just sit here.
Amen.
You know, it's like I told, and Brother Luis always likes it. You know, I talk about, you know, you get up here, and sometimes it's like trying to push a rope. You know, you can't push a rope. But see, the problem is, if somebody's on the other end and they're pulling, then you know what? You can get something done. You ain't never going to push a rope, but you can pull one. And it takes a little bit of pull sometimes. It takes us working together. And you know, we're not ever going to get it just doing it all, you know, on one side. It takes both ends working. God didn't call a fivefold ministry just to preach to the walls. But you know, all these things were given that we've got to do our part. You know, we've got to help the ministry. And you know, it's like, well, I'm saying, insignificant. I don't have a part. You know what? You get a prayer closet and you start praying. You set aside time in the morning, time in the evening. You start praying. I think it was Brother Ernie told the story about the little girl that time that, you know, she didn't know how to pray. But she set aside time. And she said, I didn't know how to pray. She's just a little girl, but she got in a closet or she went out in a field or wherever she went and she got alone to herself. And you know, she couldn't pray. She didn't even know what to say, but you know what she could do? She could get out there and sing. Because you know, the words of the song began to speak from her heart. It was not just words, but it became the expression of her heart. And then, you know, she began to, as the more she began to sing, then the words began to come. And he said, you know, you're all right. As she grew up, they said, boy, she could really pray. She really began to have a prayer life. Why? Because she had a desire, but she didn't know how to do it. But you know what? God was the one because she set time, because it was of value to her, because she saw something inside of her rose up for that. And when she began to do that, then God began to meet and he began to multiply her seed that she had been sowing. And all of a sudden, then she began to have a prayer life. And many times we stand there and we say, well, Lord, I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do this. But you know, the thing is you give your all to God and God will multiply it. You know, when God began to speak of the woman that was in the temple and she gave her two alms and she dropped them in, and Jesus remarked that she gave all that she had, and that was more than all the rest of them could give. And when they carried it in with great big bags and all this, and wanted everybody to see all the money they were giving into the temple. That's why, because God wants just your all. You know, many times I've told the young people, you know, people talk about, you know, they come up here and they want to play an instrument. And you know, every time I see a young person and they have a desire to play an instrument, or they want to sing a song, and I always want to encourage them, and I always want to tell them one thing. When you get up in front of the congregation, you're not singing to the congregation. When you get up and play, you're not playing for the congregation. I said, you know, you ought to just, sometimes when I get up here, people wonder why I close my eyes when I sing. You know what? I'm just getting into an atmosphere, and it's just me and God. I'm just singing to God. I'm not singing to everybody else. And you get into the same thing when you get into the atmosphere of playing the word or the music. When you start playing, you know, you're just playing to God, and that's the only person you should focus on. Not whether you mess up, whether you get the chord wrong, or all these type of things. You just keep your mind on God and watch God minister, and He will all of a sudden He will grow your talent. It will come, and it's like, well, I don't know how to sing this song, and you struggle. But you know what? You put that before God, and you know what? God will bless you, and you'll see people have great talents, that they have great voices to sing, and you know what? They use that for God, and you know, it's just because God has blessed them. And so you just start with something small, whatever it is, and God can multiply it. If you and I could, if we can do that, if we can just take what God has given us, and not say, well, Lord, this is just so small or so little or whatever. You know, just to give God all you, give all that He gives you. You know, meantime, we want to look and we say, well, I can't be like this one and I can't be like that one. God don't want you to be like this one or that one. God wants you to be you. God called you and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You made the person that you are because God wants you, because you express part of Him. Because God has given you, if He's given you the new birth, then you know, this outer man is something for you to overcome. And because that is an overcoming for the world to see. That we can overcome these things, that we can show the world Jesus Christ in our own little bit, whether, you know, from the youngest to the oldest. You know, we don't have to try to compare who is this and who is that. But let us compare what God has. Let's look in the Word and see ourselves in the Word, and let's compare to that, not what everybody else does. Let's be what God has called us to be. That's what I want to be. I want to find the value in God's Word that I, you know, that God saw value in me, that I want to find the value in Him. I want to do all that He wants me to be, that I want to be just all of that. You know, I was listening and doing some reading, and you know, I was thinking about blind Fanny Crosby. You know, when she had all that she could have received in this world, all the riches and everything, and turned it all down, made fun of all of being blind and all those things. But you know. You know, Brother Bram tells the story. You know, there she go. He said she turned away from them. Said, "No, sir, nothing of the world." And she turned back and she started to go back into the house. And you know, there she was going back in there. And you know, and from all of the ridicule that she had faced and all those things, and talking about blind. And you know, are you going to see God? And how, you know, what are you going to be blind over there? She said, "Oh, that's all right. Even if I'm blind over there, I'm still going to know Him." And she started to walk through the house, and then she stood there and she said, "I shall know Him. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hand." Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We have had a blessing because God has given all to us. And brothers and sisters, He wants us to walk in the liberty that the Word has given us. He's because we stands there with, as Pop always tells us, He stands out with love. With nail scarred hands. He corrects His children with love with nail scarred hands. Brothers and sisters, we're so blessed. But I want you to understand God loves you tonight. God wants the best for you. But the problem is you and I have to receive that. I want to take what God has given me. I want to tell you a little story. Some of y'all may know Brother Scott Smith. Y'all know Brother Scott Smith from North Carolina. He pastors a church. And Brother Scott, He's an insurance agent. So I always like to say that Brother Scott, he's an insurance agent and an assurance agent. Because, you know, he's got insurance, but he's got blessed assurance, you know. Brother Brim said, you know, get you a policy on that. But, you know, he had this lady, and her husband was about ready to pass away. And he wanted to make her a ring that had some jewelry or whatever. And so they went, and one of the last things he done before he passed away was he made her this ring. And he was able to give it to her before he passed. And that was the one thing that she cherished most about him was that ring, because it was one of the last things he done. And she said, there's not a price in this world that'll pay. There's no value in this world what that ring means. But she come to Brother Scott and she told him, said, Scott, I want to have this thing insured because it was worth like $65,000 to $70,000. It was a lot of money. And she said, well, I want to have it. So, you know, they had to go through the process of getting an appraisal and the pictures and all the things that they have to go through to get it insured. And, you know, she got it insured and all that. And then several months later, she called him and said she was standing there and she was trying to get through the phone call with him. And he was trying to find out what was wrong. And she said, Scott, I've lost that ring. The ring is gone. She said, I don't know where it's at. She said, I've waited a week. I said, I've had the children come over. We've went through the house. And she said, I can't find it. I don't know where it's at. And she said, Scott, I think we're going to have to file a claim on it. And he said, well, that's all right. So he started talking to her. She just so brokenhearted said, listen, it's not the money, because there's no money that's going to replace that ring. Said, oh, I can get money for it, but it's not going to be the same. Said, you know, you can make another ring, but it's not going to be the same.
That's right.
It won't be that ring. And so he was asking her, so, well, have you had anybody around the house? Has anything been going on? And she said, well, I've had landscapers out, and they were out there, and said some electricians had come, and they had run some outside lighting around in the landscaping and everything. But she said, well, one came in, and he went in the front part of the house where the panel was. And he said, well, he was in there. And then, you know, she said, that's the only one, you know, they'd come in there a few times when I'm working on the panel. She said, that's all the ones that had been in there was when they were in there. And she said, that was all that took place. And so, well, you know, all you can do is just keep it in God's hands. And she was so brokenhearted. So, well, about two or three weeks later, whatever, she called Scott. Said, it was a different woman calling. So she was so excited. She just about couldn't keep contain her excitement of what was going on. And he's like, you ain't going to believe this. And he's like, well, try me. You ain't going to believe this. Well, try me. She was all excited and said, I got my ring. I got it on my hand right now. He's like, really? How'd that happen? She said, you won't believe it. I said, that electrician, when he came in the house, he slipped in the back of the house. Said, she got a pretty nice house, but he came back there. And he got a ring, and he walked out with it. Well, he waited several days on that ring before he decided he was going to do something with it. To show you the providence of God, guess where he took that ring? He took the ring right back to the jeweler that had designed and created that ring. It came right back. So when he received, when the man told him, oh, you know, we got hard times, all this, he brought that ring back in. And when, as soon as he picked it up, he realized, hey, I know who this belongs to, because I'm the creator. I know this. I designed this. I know this. So he called that lady and said, hey, are you missing something? He's like, why are you asking? He said, because I got your ring. It's right here. When that electrician come in the jewelry store, was asking about it, he's like, well, he said, how much you think I can get for that ring? He said, oh, well, let me tell you something. He said, you're going to get more for this ring than you expect. He's like, oh, really? I was like, yeah, let me tell you, that's a ring right there. Boy, let me tell you, that's her right there. That's some money. Well, he said, well, hold on. And the jeweler went to the back. And he stayed back there. He called that lady and he called the cops. So when he come back out and went out to the front, the cops were already aware of what was going on. So he's like, well, how much you think I'm going to get for it? He said, right there at the door. They turned around. There was the cops. The cops took him out. But you know, she had a ring. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We've had one that's tried to steal from us. He tried to take us. You know, there was one, he thought he could interrupt God's plan.
Yeah, that's right.
He thought he could take all that God had put in place.
Right.
But you know what? Satan thought he was going to mess this plan up, but you know, he was right in God's plans.
Amen.
And you know what? He thought, he created all this in the Garden of Eden, all this havoc and sin. And but you know what? The title deed of redemption went back to the hands of God. When we come into this world all lost and undone, but you know what? God had a way back. You know, he had already made plans for all this. And you know, the way was made back. Why? Because we were still in the hands of God. It was misplaced for a while and all these things, but you know what? God still had it in control. It came right back to God. And God's still in control. And you know, we look at things in our lives and we wonder why things happen. And you know, sometimes we allow the devil to steal our joy. But you know what? It's not his.
That's right. That's right.
He can't keep it.
Right.
He can't. Whatever it is that you have, your health, your children,
yes,
your finances,
amen,
whatever it is, the devil, he won't try to get in there. But you know what? He can't take away from you what God's given to you.
Amen.
Why? Because the providence of God's always going to bring it back.
Yes.
Why? Because he said the Holy Spirit has came and he's an agent. He's the Spirit. He's God's agent to bring the devil back, and you receive back what he's took from you. He said when you come and you make a claim on God, because when the devil takes your health and he takes your children or he takes whatever is from you, your joy, your peace, whatever it is that you're looking for, then you know what? He said the Holy Spirit, God will send the Holy Spirit after him and he'll bring it back. And you know, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're blessed tonight that if you have whatever you have need of, he's here to give it to you. Whatever you have lost, he's here. God bless you. Now let's all stand, have the musicians come. Whatever you have need of, he's here to meet it. Because you know, if you can look in the scripture, we have the bank draft of heaven. Then we have it in the scripture here. Then all we have to do is lay a claim on it. And God has the Holy Spirit to go after it. We can make a claim on what belongs to us. We don't have to, you know, we don't, and you're like, well, God do these things. Why? He give it to you. Well, if he give it to you, then you know what? Then we don't have to worry about trying to get it or trying to get it back. Why? Because if we've allowed the devil to take our joy and our peace and whatever else that we have lost, then you know what the thing is tonight's the night you put your claim in and claim it back. Whatever it is, you have a need, then you know what? You don't have to leave this building without having what you have need of. Whatever your desire is. Well, because he said if you delight yourself in the Lord, and he said he'd give you the desires of your heart. Well, because the problem is people don't put a claim down. They don't require the devil to give it back. They don't require the devil to get off their property. He's like, well, I don't know. No. He got the first right to be there. Then move on. Think about that song, you know. You know, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. You know, so, you know, if you tell the devil, he said, you know, the Lord will say, move on, Satan. He got his mind made up. I got my foot on the rock and I got my mind made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, I don't know what key that's in. I don't know. I'm going to try to sing it anyway. Ain't never stopped me before. Well, I started out just to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look upon his face. But the way's been long and the way's been rough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. Yes, I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, When the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Try B flat. Or try B flat. Old Job, he was a man who was tempted in every way. The devil took his family, he laid sick night and day. His wife came a-saying, curse God, you've had enough. He said, you talk like a foolish woman, I've got my mind made up. Yes, I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Now the devil, he will tempt you and will fill you away with strife. He'll make you sick in body, even try to take your life. But just put your trust in Jesus. Say, Lord, I've had enough. The Lord will say, move on, Satan. He's got his mind made up. Yes, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Amen. Amen. I got my foot on the rock. I got my foot on the Word, the rock of Revelation. And I'm not going to allow him to take what belongs to me. Amen. God bless you. Brother, you got a song?
Draw me near. I am thine, O Lord.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice and it told me to. Blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. And let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend.
Into this situation, we know that you'll just fix everything.
Whenever you'll make it okay,
our sister will come up here, Lord. Lord, to have faith to walk up here, to ask, Lord. So, Father, we know that you already had the answer, Lord, before we even come up.
Precious leading sign. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Of love that I cannot know till I cross that narrow sea.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know our sister's request.
Father,
we know
that
till I rest in
peace with
Lord Jesus, you seek us young sister's faith, Lord, to come up here and request.
Soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thy. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious.
God bless you tonight. Any, no one else? We're good. All right. We appreciate each one of you being here tonight. Thank you for the pool. And thank you for all things. And for each one of you. And just continue to lift up each one that hasn't, you know, the ones that are not here with us and the different ones. And just continue to remember them. And remember Sunday school. Praise the Lord. We got back to normal. Thank the Lord. And one of these days we'll get rid of these face shields and masks and all these things. You know, there was a man who wrote a song years ago and he said there won't be any U-Hauls in heaven. And there won't be heaven, won't be no U-Hauls on heaven's streets. He said, I'm going to a place where I'll always be. He said, there won't no need to be moving from there, because when I move there, there's no other moving to go to. So, I always think about that. So we're going to a place where there won't be no mask and there won't be no sickness and none of this stuff. We'll put all this stuff behind us. Exactly right. Oh, it's gonna be great.
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you tonight. Appreciate each one. So as we go, we're just going to ask Brother Bob, if you don't mind, dismiss us in prayer, brother.